Of it out because I have something really. I'm going to start off and just kind of do some teaching. And I call it just flyby teaching because the way God's wired me, I could spend a long time on things, but I try to do it in a broad, sweeping stroke. And then I have something the Lord's really put on my heart, I think, and it's going to be at the end. It's just something He spoke to me and. He encouraged me some this morning with it, but it's a challenge. It's a challenge that the Lord's put in my heart that I feel like it's for us here. And if you go and turn with me to Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 8, we're going to read Acts 1, 1 through 8. And we started last week, and I mentioned that I was going to start at the beginning of Acts last week. The Lord kind of put me on Acts chapter 13. Which was good, and if you remember that, as I've already said, ministry to God, and we talked some about that. Sons of Zadok and Ezekiel, they had the privilege of ministering to the Lord Himself. So Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 8. It says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." That's a big part I want to share. "Until the day which He was taken up, after He through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom He also presented Himself alive after His suffering, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during the 40 days, and speaking things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, He said, you have heard from Me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they come together, they ask Him, saying, Lord, at this time will You restore the kingdom to Israel? And He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put under His own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of Me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and all the ends of the earth." So this week, last week it was, as far as, you know, I'm someone I love to come before God and just, like Jim was saying in his class, and just be with Him. There's an element of that, but there's an element, too, where I have to be missional as well, which is what I hear from, Kevin and Bill at the prisons and Pete at the prayer meeting they have there, Brian, your home. To me, that's, my personal life should well up to the place where it affects everything around me. And the Holy Spirit is meant for impact, okay? But some of the things that, before they went off, Jesus said you have to be waiting until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. Just a few things about Acts. One thing that's kind of cool, just a little background. Luke writes it, and he writes this, "The former account I made, O Theophilus." And if you read the Gospel of Luke, he presents that same detail to Theophilus as well. And many believe that he was a high-ranking governmental official. But one thing cool about his name is I think it means lover of God. Is it lover of God or something similar? Like that, or friend of something along those lines. And so it's almost like he's presenting it to the body of Christ. Dear lover of God, this is what he has. And there's half of the book of Acts. Let me say, I'm just going to say this one thing about Acts. I'm going to move on to well and share for time's sake. I remember when I was in Bible school, we had a dear friend, or I more of a mentor than a friend. He's in his 80s, Dr. Buskey. And he came from Florida, he flew up, he taught one class, and I still have my notes from his class. But one thing he had in there that was pretty neat, or that I liked, he said Acts is a recording of how the apostles and how the early church responded to the Holy Spirit. Okay? They didn't always respond correctly. Okay, we'll look at that more later. But it's how they responded to the Holy Spirit. And one thing he said, I just want to say this before I get into what I really want to share. He was telling me of a story in his church down in Florida. There's a real move of the Spirit going on, and it was kind of like, I guess, what Bill was talking about Sunday night here. There's folks dancing and moving, and his wife, I've never met his wife. His wife is a more withdrawn person, just kind of, and he said someone went up to her and said, "Come on, lady, get free," and started shaking her. And she said, "Because I am free, I can be myself." It's like, amen. And what I want to say is that everyone has their own expression of the Lord. And so, and I know Bill didn't mean this when he said it, but he may have thought, Kevin can pray so easily. You know, I've heard people say, I'm afraid to pray because I don't pray as well as this guy right here does. Or I'm afraid to express myself because this guy is more fluent. I've said this here plenty of times. I can have a prayer that stretches from here to San Francisco that doesn't get above the ceiling. And I've met people who have, oh God, and it just shifts the atmosphere, and vice versa. And so however the Lord's gifted, however the Lord's wired you, be free to just express Him in that way. A lot of what you see in Acts is, you know, God's given me my unique. And sometimes there's things we're bound up and we have to break free. Sometimes that happens. You know, all of us have that to a degree. I was telling a story one time. I'm way off track. One time I was alone with the Lord, and I heard a minister talking. He said, you know, I was with God one time, and I was really withdrawing. The Lord said, just start dancing before me. And he felt really backwards. And the Lord did that to me one day. He's like, just start dancing. And I felt like a buffoon. But it was just me dancing before the Lord, right? And so I want to encourage you. How you respond when the Holy Spirit is He's within us, He comes upon us, and it's always for impact, okay? However that is, and however that's expressed through you, Paul wrote, he who compares himself with another is unwise. Don't look at yourself and say, hey, Sandra has this expression, man, she's more anointed than me, you know. Hey, we're both the Lord's children, she might have one expression, I have one. And I depend on her as her brothers in Christ, her to be who God's made her to be, and vice versa. Amen? And we all function and flow in that way. So I want to share just a few things about this, because it says all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And that's important. Some of the things that Jesus taught. Let me say there was no inconsistency in Jesus' life. So if He taught it, He did it. All right? Heal the sick, raise the dead. Did He do that? Yes. Love your enemies. Yes. What was He saying on the cross? Father, forgive them. He taught the kingdom of God. He saw demons cast out. So whatever He taught it, it wasn't, you know, hey, do this, and I never do it myself. And one of the most frustrating things, and I've seen it in my life, and I try not to do it myself. I remember one time there was and no one knows who he is, so it's... But there's this constant thing about outreach to this guy. There's no one in here, one knows. But this, because this individual never lived it himself and never gave opportunity for expression, instead of freeing people, it actually frustrated people, right? So I can preach things and say things. So if the Lord's put something in my heart, if I'm learning something from the Scripture, if I'm learning that, hey, I lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, it's not just so I can have a good doctrine. It's so I can lay hands on the sick and see them recover, right? I can't come up here and say, hey, Jesus taught healing. And Mark says before, hey, Joanne's going in on Tuesday. And I say, okay, well, hey, good thoughts to you, man. You know? Hey, all that Jesus began to do and teach. So if we teach it, hey, let's lay hands on this man of God. Let's release healing to his wife, right? All that he began to do and to teach. A few things. How did he do this? And it says, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. One of my favorite passages in the Scriptures, I'm going to turn there and read it to you real quick, Acts 10:38. And it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Okay? God, Jesus was fully man and fully God, right? Great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh, right? It says he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews says he meant to be made like his brethren in all ways, right? Jesus, when he was on the earth, after he'd fasted and prayed, what did it say about him? For 40 days, he was hungry, right? Okay? He was sweating in the garden. Father, if it's not my will, but yours be done. He had to go. Jesus lived this earth fully God, but he was also fully man, right? And that's important because, you know, Owen loves superheroes. And so he's got Superman. So I can't say I'm going to be like Superman because it's just not possible, right? I can't have someone shoot a bullet and it bounces off my chest and fly through the walls and everything. So one thing Jesus, if you understand, Jesus didn't leave us a model. Jesus was the model of a life that was influenced and that was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Right? What did he say in Luke chapter 4? The Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me, right? Jesus, he said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, how did he work his miracles and do? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Let me read it again. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And so what happened when that happened? He went about doing good things and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Okay? If Jesus did everything just because he was God, that means there's no... Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do. He also says, to your benefit, when I go to the Father, if I don't go to the Father, the Holy Spirit cannot come, right? What did Jesus tell them in Acts chapter 1? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you shall be witnesses to me. Is this making sense? Yes? Something yes? So the Lord, how he moved through life. I have a tongue that he was led by the Spirit. Remember, the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted. Right? It was the Spirit of God. So Jesus, if you look at his life, fully God, but he was also fully man, and he modeled. I have different verses. First Peter says that we are to follow in his steps. 1 John 2:6, it says we ought to walk as he walked. Ephesians 5:12, it says be imitators of God. How can I do that? How can I do greater works than these? Because there has to be reliance upon the Holy Spirit, like Jesus, right? So he was a model. He modeled how to live this life for impact. And so I was praying for Bill to go to the prison, where the Spirit of God would rest upon him. Because if it's just Bill going to the prison tomorrow, he'll just have a meeting. Anything we do, if it's just me, it's just a meeting. But when the Spirit of God rests upon me, it frees me to work. I think it's Bill Johnson has this quote. He said, the Spirit of God is within me for my sake. He's upon me for yours, right? And so I have the Spirit of God within me, but when he comes upon me, it's for impact and power, right? Okay? And so we looked at that and these different areas that where Jesus was used. Greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. Let me figure out where to go. Let me say this. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. I'm going to have a service probably the next few weeks. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in other tongues, I'll say this again. I'll do what my pastor did. And he said when he went to his, I think most of you in here are, he said when he planted his church, the one I grew up in, he said most of the folks there did not have a prayer language. And so he said, I encouraged them to just go home, be with the Lord, ask him for it. And he said about 40 people came to him over the next few weeks. And I told you last week that happened to my brother when he went to a men's retreat. He'd been praying and crying out to God for it. And as he did that, he was in a men's retreat just by himself. No one laid hands on him. No one, say it. It was just the language started flowing. And so I just wanted to encourage you in that way. I'm going to have opportunity the next few weeks, but I'm trying to lay a foundation to pray about that in your own time. Just a quick little teaching on that, briefly. Just a brief one. And I promise you. I can find it. There was five different instances in the Scripture where it talks about the Holy Spirit coming upon us. And for baptism in the Holy Spirit, just so you know this. Some of you don't know that I come here and I assume nothing. Some of you might be well aware of what I'm referring to. Some of you may not. But there's five instances in the Scripture or in the book of Acts where it talks about the Holy Spirit coming upon for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Each one of those five places, they spoke in other tongues. If you look in Acts chapter 2, obviously it says, we hear them speaking the wonders of God in their own language. In Samaria, in Acts chapter 8, the same thing happened, if you remember that story. And in verse 17, it says, they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And this is interesting. It says, now when Simon saw that through the laying on of hand of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also that anyone whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter. Something interesting about that Listen to me, because some of us, if we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, if we're filled with the Spirit of God, it's important to have a scriptural basis for why we're doing what we're doing. The word matter there, in the original, is logos. It means you have no part or portion in this way of speaking. So what was Simon the sorcerer, what did he see? Oh, they're laying hands on them, and they're speaking in other tongues. I want that. Peter said, your money perish with you. You have no part or portion in this way of speaking. It's interesting, if you look at, I was talking to Bob some last week. If you read the original language, it's almost like a 3D. You can see so much more in it. Acts chapter 9:17, they laid hands on Paul. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Nowhere in the book of Acts does it say he prayed in tongues, but what did he tell the Corinthian church? He said, I thank God that I pray in tongues more than you all. Right? He prayed in other tongues. And Cornelius' household in Acts chapter 10, verse 46, when they laid hands on Cornelius and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and they prayed in tongues, it says, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many came with Peter because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. It says, for they heard them speak with other tongues. One more time, and this is good for us to know. I don't want to bore you with this. I could take a lot longer on it than I am. The word for in the original language means because, and it's a strong tense. It says, we know the Holy Spirit fell upon them because, the evidence of that says, was because we heard them speak in other tongues. Amen? Some people disagree with me. I believe it's baptism in the Holy Spirit is like a pair of shoes. The tongues comes with it. That's what I believe. Amen. there we go. Evidence, and I have some good brothers who disagree with me, and I honor them for that. That's perfectly fine. I see it in the scripture that way. And evidence in Exodus 9:16, they laid hands on them. They said, and they immediately prayed in tongues and prophesied. Don't complicate prophecy. They immediately prayed in tongues and prophesied. Real quick, you don't have to get prayed up before I give a word to someone. Okay, that thing should be within me. Okay, sometimes when I felt really unspiritual, when God will speak to me about something, and sometimes we can have a religious mindset, I need to come in here and pray for 2 hours, and then I can do this. Now, I'm not opposed to that, because I operate some that way myself, but I should be able to have such a thing within me, where I operate from the gift, rather than the anointing and the indwelling spirit within me. I don't have to rely on a feeling, I just know, hey, the Lord's in me, the Lord's saying this, and release it. Don't complicate things of the Spirit, okay? And don't just put it off to other people. We're all ministers, right? Okay? I have the responsibility to do this, but all of us can, that you all may prophesy, right? I desire that you all may prophesy. There's just a couple more things, and then I'm going to get to what I'm going to share about. There's two words. It says, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Just briefly on this, there's two words for powers, dunamis and exousia. And so dunamis power is what's used here. And that's, has anyone ever had a healing in their body before? I have. I'll never forget, I was in right before my senior season in basketball. I played basketball Friday for the first time in like 4 years. It was so nice. It was so good. I went to the YMCA. Anyways, it was right before my senior season in basketball, and I had a real bad knee pain. And I remember going to my church, and my pastor said, someone has a knee pain right here. And it was me. I went up for prayer, played that season pain-free. What happened there? There's an explosion of dunamis power. It was released. I was thinking some, the Lord took me back in moments in my own life. I remember being, I forget who the minister was. I think it was a brother from South Africa. He came to our church when I was younger. And we had a huge prayer line, and he was going through. And I remember being here with my eyes closed down. And as the man of God was walking, I could literally feel, I could feel it. I looked up, what is that? Oh, he's right there. What was that? It was something, the power of God he was carrying, okay? There's also a word for exousia. And oftentimes that gets translated as the same word, but exousia is authority. And in Luke 4, when Jesus healed, I forget who it was, he said, with power and authority. He healed him. Okay? Sometimes we emphasize the power of God without emphasizing the authority of God. What is authority? Has authority come? There's a man, I.Q. Spencer. He's gone on to be with the Lord. He was the founder of Elam Bible School. And he had such a walk with God that sometimes they would say in the meetings there, and if highly spiritually charged atmosphere, some folks would get out of line. They said he could just sit right in the corner And just because he carried such an authority, he would shut the thing down. Because he had such a relationship with God, such an authority. I actually don't know anyone who's like that. Praying is what I want in my life. There's such an authority he carried. How do we get that authority? Remember when I shared the story, I've shared it here before, when I was a little boy, my father was the manager of it's called COECO. It was a Carolina office equipment company. And I would go in there, 10-year-old little brat, and do whatever I wanted to do up to a point. And I would move people's stuff just to be a smart aleck. And because my dad ran the store and they had a relationship with my dad, I had a certain authority there, even as a 10-year-old child, that I could get away with if my dad didn't run the store. They would have just kicked me out. There's authority comes through relationship. Okay? Remember when the disciples, they had great success, the Lord sent them out, and they came back arguing who was going to be the greatest. I had 4 blind people healed. You only had 2. I'm going to be greater. Well, I had 3 back injuries. I only had 1. And then they prayed for the little boy that had the seizures, and they couldn't heal him. And Jesus came, and he set the little boy free. And they pulled him aside and said, Jesus, how come you could do this and I couldn't? And it's when he said this thing, this kind does not come out but by fasting and prayer. Now, I could make a doctrine and say, well, you have to fast before you do that. And I believe in fasting. Fasting should be a lifestyle, not just an event in your life. But I believe what he was saying is when you do fast, I fast for relationship. So whatever that may be, this kind this only comes out through an authority that you carry that's only built up through relationship, right? I carry as much authority as I carry relationship with the Lord. How do I get remember ministry to God last week? So there's an element of power I can have. There's also an element of authority that I should carry. You know, I would love to carry such an authority that everywhere I go, demons shriek when I walk down the street. I feel this in the Lord speaking it to my heart, and this is kind of where I was going at. I'm just going to get right to it for time's sake. One thing that all Jesus began both to do and to teach, and my challenge and my burden, and the Lord really dealt with my heart, really been dealing with me personally. It bothers me that we can say, and I'm thinking of the church at large, not this church. And I'm thinking actually of myself in a lot of respects. Well, brother, I pray in tongues, I'm Pentecostal, and I can tell you all about Azusa Street. I can tell you all about my roots. I go back to Agnes Osman. She prayed in Chinese for 3 days at the turn of the century. And I can say I have this doctrine. I do these things. Yet my life has no indication. I have a friend, and he was telling me he has a pastor who's a Baptist man, is not baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he told me, and it grieves me, he said, this man is more spiritual and more Spirit-led than a lot of Pentecostal pastors that I know. I said, that's a problem. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, is not the end-all of end-alls. It's actually just the beginning, and it's not an event, it's a lifestyle. Okay? It's not enough for me to say, I had an experience when I was this age, I pray in other tongues, I do this. It's not enough for me to say, I believe in healing, and I can wear the scriptures out. It's not enough for me to say, I believe that prophecy is for today. I believe all the right things, and there's never an expression in my life. And let me tell you how the Lord dealt with me, and this is partly because we have a healthy church. But we had, last year, 2017, Doreen Mohan was prayed for. I don't know if you guys remember. Right after Evan was born, she came in on a cane. I thank God because I saw her 2 days later at a minister's meeting. And she said, Clay, I don't have a cane anymore. I'm healed up. And okay, we prayed for her. And if you remember the Wood family, their little boy was miraculously healed. And I said, we have 2 healings. And I don't know that we've had any this year. This is just me talking. Your wife's going to be healed, though. She's going to be completely fine. And I think that, and I say, you know, Father, it's not just enough for me to say that I believe this stuff. Man, I could take this and have a field day, give you 20 weeks worth of lessons on healing. But if I never see anyone healed, man, All that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So he taught it, but he also demonstrated it through the Holy Spirit working, okay? It's not enough for me to say, I have all the right theology. We could believe all the right things and be doing none of the right things. It grieves me. It can't be a powerless thing. I have a girl's name on the back. It's my mom. I didn't know this. I called my mom last week and I was going to talk to her. And she said, we're at a 5K event. There's a dear friend of my mom. She's been a prayer partner for years. Dear woman of God. She prays for us here. And her granddaughter, 21 years old, was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer. And so her name's Brooke. I think it's Brooke. I put her name on the back. And I said, you know, if my theology does not allow me to believe that she's healed, then what good is this? I come in here, I encourage you, when you come in here, her name's on the back, lay hands on her, completely healed. She was just diagnosed in March or April, 21 years old, healthy girl. She loves Jesus, strong Christian. That's not the will and the purpose of God. What else did Jesus teach? On earth as in heaven, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. My theology, my beliefs, when I take from this word, it has to translate to, oh, I believe it because of this. We can sometimes take pride because we believe the right things, right? I pray in tongues and I believe in it, and you don't, and I'm this. And then I've got someone saying, I'm not thinking of anyone in particular, but this guy who doesn't speak in tongues is more spirit-led than a lot of guys I know who are. That's telling me something that's not right. It shouldn't be that way, okay? My theology has to say, I can pray for Brooke who's on the back there, and she's healed, saved, and set free. I know a minister who speaks in tongues. No one here right now knows him. He doesn't even live in the state. Made a comment one time, I don't believe God's really in the business of healing people today. Okay? Now, I think scripturally believes it. I can't read this. I can't look through the book of Acts and just read over the next chapter in 3. But Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping, stood up, walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Why did that happen? You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all the ends of the earth. So they took. Oh, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, has the Holy Spirit come upon you? Yes, he has. I didn't take time to develop that. The Holy Spirit comes upon you, but has he come upon you? Yes. Is he within you? Yes. That means, hey, Holy Spirit's upon me. I'm privileged. That means, like, lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. I can see the guy. I only do what I see my Father does. The Father says, hey, that man needs to be healed, set free. Lay my hands on him and believe it. That has to translate, right? My heart is at this place here. Would be a place where people say, hey, I need a healing in my body. I need a word from the Lord in my life. I can come there and I know God's there to heal. Or God's there to speak to my need that's in my life. Or I've got a friend who's oppressed and bound by the demonic. My pastor had that. There's a man, a very large church in my hometown. There's a demonized lady who would come into his church and slither like a snake. And he called his pastor, Renelson, I don't know what to do with her. Can I send her to you? And I still remember she came and she was delivered there. What a compliment that is, to walk in something. I was there, I saw it. To cease to have that kind of compliment, where my theology, where all Jesus began to do and teach. So I can teach it, and I have to do it here. I do it in the prisons. I do it in my family. I do it in the prayer meetings, because my theology that I have has to translate somewhere else. Amen? Okay? It has to. God spoke to me so strongly last night. I wish more of our folks were here to hear this, because he challenged me. This is actually more maybe for, I think it's for the church, but he challenged me. Okay? Maybe there's some of you in here and you haven't prophesied in years and you need to. Don't complicate it. God's speaking to you. Well, what's what should I do? What's God saying to you? Does God speak to you? Yes. Maybe you haven't laid hands on someone in years, and you need to. Because you carry something as a son and daughter of God, you have to believe, you can lay hands on the sick and see them recovered. Your wife needs healing. I got two other guys. Because you guys care. I know for sure both of you guys do. and I've heard stories. They carry something, man. You know? It's a place for that. I have to have that in my life. Is there any area of your life where maybe the Lord's speaking to you? I don't know what it is. There's some gifted people. Maybe you haven't dreamed in years. You haven't seen miracles in years. You know, the Lord speaks to us in dreams as well. That's okay, but we'll get when you're done. I've done the same thing. It's okay. Also, there's dreams in here. I was listening to a guy, a real prophetic guy, and he was saying, the Lord used to give me dreams, and he stopped. And I asked why. He stopped giving me dreams. And so one thing he started doing, he said, the Lord says, you don't write them down, you forget. So he kept the book right next to his bed. The Lord would give him a dream. He was just write it down. The Lord speaks to me in dreams sometimes. And the Lord's challenged me in that area. Sometimes I'll dream something, and the next day when I dream, I see happening. It's the craziest thing. And I start writing my dreams down. God's speaking this way. What's God putting in your hand? What's God doing in your life? And support that. It translates from here to what we're doing. Amen? I'm going to close with that. I was going to have a time of prayer afterwards, but we kind of did that after worship. And I know the time and everything. This can't just be... I'm going to go through the book of Acts. We're going to look at a lot of things. This can't just be a creed that we have. It can't be. What does the scripture says? Knowledge puffs up. Okay? If you look in Acts 13, it says there were prophets and teachers. I love that. When you see the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts 1, Peter had a prophetic word, but he also went to the scriptures and he started quoting the Old Testament. Because the word and the spirit always align up. So they had prophets and teachers. The prophets usually sometimes are out in the clouds. Teachers are very grounded because the Word and the Spirit should what? It should mix. It should flow together. I can have all the right creeds. I can have all the right theology. I can be puffed up with it. But if it's not being expressed in my life, what's the point? It's just a good teaching. It's just something. I encourage you. We see it some. It does me so good to have Kevin and Bill come up and tell me what's going on in the prisons or what's going on in your home or anything like that. Let me say this too. God can give you ministry ideas that don't fit on the flow chart of a church. Right? He can give you... my dad was talking with some men and we're saying, just have a church at a McDonald's. They go to McDonald's. I said, just start having your Bible studies there. See what happens. People start coming up, right? That wouldn't fit in the flow chart of a church. But that's ministry. That's saying, okay, I'm taking... Holy Spirit's come upon me, and I shall be witnesses at McDonald's. I'm having my morning coffee. Why? Because the Spirit of God's there. The work's in... If it's in here, it's got to work at McDonald's. You come in here and I give opportunities. There's a reason I have other people pray for other people. It's training. Saying we have something. You have something to give. Amen. It has to translate. I'm speaking to myself more than anything because God's put things in my heart. He's reminded me of things in my life. And sometimes in the course of all of our lives, and I'm no exception, I get so busy with work. I get so busy with different things, kids, this. And I forget the passion and the calling of God. I was walking in our big backyard last night. I was praying on this. And I said, Father, everywhere I am, I remember, I'm closing with this, I promise you, this is my last thing. I had our youth conferences when I was in Bible school, and these kids would just get touched with the power of God. And I said, God, I could spend my life doing this. This is heaven to me. See this, I could do this every day. And I never want to lose that thing within me. Is there something God's put in your heart? Whatever that is. Maybe it's seeing unsafe. Maybe it's seeing a family member that hasn't met Jesus. I want this person saved. Lord, ignite that fire within me. Holy Spirit fell. 3,000 souls were added. Holy Spirit fell on Peter, the guy who just denied Jesus. 3,000 souls were added. 3,000 were added here. So my family, I've got one or two. Oh God, give me a passion for that. Lord, just stir up our passion that it doesn't become a teaching. Because I could wear myself and all of us out teaching this, and I would love it. But I can't just do that. It has to be expressed through telling me Joanne on Tuesdays is healthy and whole. I have to have that. I can't not have that, man. I can't not have it. Your family. We can't not have your family unsaved. It has to work there, right? Or else what's the point? Amen. It's my heart. I'm not careful. I'll do what you did and start tearing up. That's my heart. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord. Lord, that you've called this body of believers, Lord. Lord, I look and I see, Father, small body of believers, Lord, and we're impacting different places. We impact the Warm Center, Lord. We're impacting the prisons. We're impacting places where Peter lives. We're impacting our families and our homes, Lord. Lord, I just ask for creative ideas, Lord, just fill up in this church, Lord, whether it's a Dunkin' Donuts thing or, I don't care, whatever it is, something at our jobs, at our work, Lord. Lord, that just creative ideas, Lord, that we would never, this church would never be a place that knows all the right doctrines and can quote it as important that is. But Lord, we would know all the right things and we would have an expression of all the right things, Lord. So I could say that just as Jesus began to do and teach, Lord, Lord, that you have us where we can teach it and we can also do it, Lord. We can do the works that you've called us to do, Father, because it has to work. And I just thank you for that. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for what you're doing, Lord, in our lives. I thank you what you're doing through this body. Father, I just ask, someone said to me before, it won't be an addition, but a multiplication. Father, I ask that multiplies here. Lord, not just that it adds, but Father, that it multiplies. It multiplies, a multiplication upon multiplication, Father, of your great works, Father. When I come in here, I don't have to preach because I'm just hearing about everything that people, God's done in lives and the different ministries throughout this church, Father, throughout the week, Father. And we just hear your goodness, Lord. This person was saved. That person was saved. Man, we're praying for them and they're healed. They're set free. They're bound by the demonic and they've been delivered. Lord, just I thank you. This person, Lord, says you wake him morning by morning to speak the word to the unlearned. Lord, that we would have a word in season, Father, for those who need it, God. Lord, someone who's on the verge of suicide, and the Lord takes us to a restaurant, and the Lord, you give us something in our heart, and we say the right word, Father, it's from your spirit that penetrates their heart, Lord. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for all the victories, Father, that you've done here, that victories that you're doing. And we love you, Jesus. We bless you. Truly, you are wonderful, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, Lord bless you all.